It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light up. Redeem us, Holy Ghost, lead us today.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words: "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life." He responded, and now over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes it is, and it's coming now, it's coming.
Your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, thank you very much, Tom Dooley. Good Saturday, everybody. Good to have you listening in. You're on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, here on this Saturday on a hot August day, summertime, from our studios in Austin, Texas, as we're praying at this time, anytime, around the clock, around the globe, as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. So excited about what God is doing in our nation. I know there are many, many challenges today, but on the flip side of the coin, we know that we're making some progress because we're having some breakthroughs, particularly among young people. And I do have a young lady as my special guest today. We're going to be talking about suicide among youth, and I know that you are going to want to listen to this broadcast as we have this teenagers on with us today. So, Father, we just pray right now the will of God be done here on BPN Radio here today, and we just pray the will of God be done here on this Saturday. In Jesus' name, open our spiritual ears that we may hear. Open our spiritual eyes that we may see. Open our hearts that we might receive right now in Jesus' name. So I want to welcome individuals and churches and cities all across America. Over 1,000 churches praying with us now. Over 700 cities. And we are believing God now for a 1,000 prayer leaders. And if you are a prayer leader, we need your help. All you have to do is go to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com. Go down to 1,000 prayer leaders and click the box there where it says 1,000 prayer leaders, and we will give you the opportunity to register. And if you're a private group, then we will list that as private. And if you are a public group, then you can give us the name of your location, not the address, just the name. So we will list you, and we're believing God for 1,000. We do have some new prayer leaders we want to welcome. We want to welcome Sean Patrick Williams, who is from the Warrior Nations International Ministries, Greenwood, South Carolina. We also want to welcome Roy Ibbins, who has a private group in Lubbock, Texas. We want to welcome Pastor Stephen Strader, who has a group in Lakeland, Florida. We want to welcome Tom Santopolo as a prayer group at Gateway Church, Rutland, Vermont. Becky Barton has a prayer group at Women of the Word, Winfield, Louisiana. Linda Raglan has prayer groups in Austin, Marathon, and Angleton, Texas. Also want to welcome Neil Effling, Best Way Lending, Gig Harbor, Washington. And want to welcome Buslinging Charles, who has a prayer group in Kampala, Uganda, River of Joy. Dorothy Brooks has a private location in Garland, Texas. And also we have Anna Silverthorne, who has a prayer group at Crawford County Christian Center, Robinson, Illinois. Tracy Johnson has a prayer group at Saskatoon Christian Center, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. And I want to welcome that group. Cheryl Ortiz has a Facebook prayer group, Manford, Oklahoma. All you have to do is go to bpnradio.com, and you can sign up. Okay, good to have you listening in, and we welcome you to the broadcast on this Saturday. A special guest coming up. First of all, we have an upbeat tune for those of you that are young and those of you that are young in heart. Our friend Brian and Kristen Mean. This is actually Brian Mean. And he has a song that says that we could be the last generation. And that is very, very true. Brian Mean from Southern California. Here we go. Get ready. We'll be back in a moment with our special guest.
Hear the final generation. Everlasting God of all the masses, the God of all creation, the God who paid the highest price to buy us back from Satan. Lord, shower us with your grace, let it pour down on our faces. Lord, you are the King and you deserve all of our praises. That's you, happiness waiting when you're ready to receive. There's a love that's so fulfilling, a mercy that's never ended. Yeah, so this right here is a declaration, an invitation to participate in something so amazing, so amazing. I say this right here is an invocation, a preparation for what could be the last of generations. Come on, this right here is a declaration, an invitation to participate in something so amazing, so amazing. I say this right here is an invocation, a preparation for what could be the last of generations. Come on, come on.
This could be the last generation.
Come on.
This could be our final love.
This could be our final hour.
This could be the last generation. This could be our finest hour. This could be the last generation.
Woo!
This could be our final hour.
Come on!
This could be the last generation. This could be our finest hour. Gotta live for your name in such a way like it's my last chance. Love you, I live for your name on such a way like it's my last chance to love you.
What's up, everybody? This is Carissa, and I'm making this video because God shared something with me last night that just makes sense for me to share with you guys. Something that I love to do is write. I write all the time, and last night, God just really put something heavy on my heart, and it was about suicide, and with Lex Fest coming out this weekend, I mean, it just makes sense that I share it. And even God, I mean, everything that God told me kind of went along with the whole Ignite Your Light theme of Lexfest. So I wrote this poem sort of thing about suicide last night. Or really, God wrote it. He just kind of gave it to me and blessed me with it. And now I'm going to share it with you guys. So here it is. Be blessed. Okay, I'm just going to start it. If I'm being honest, I've been exposed to self-hate since I was 6. I remember looking at my scars and thinking of all that my daddy did. He didn't love me, or at least that's the way he made it look. So I followed in his footsteps and hated myself for what he took. When I looked in the mirror, I only saw what people pointed out for me to see. And because this world's so cruel, I only saw the bad parts of me. I saw the scar on my right arm, the one I got for defending my mom when I was 8. I found myself so enraged, and at that moment, it became too late. I decided to give myself some scars, and it wasn't up for debate. I felt so useless to the world, and my mind wasn't about to change. Suicide was where I was headed, because that's where the world wanted me to go. All the hate that people throw, all the hate that people show, is just leading to a decline of hope and a gradual grow of self-given death and teens out of control. There are people who say that suicide is selfish and full of pride, but obviously they don't know what it's like to cry so loud yet nobody hears, nobody even tries. Think about how many people look happy but are lying, because no matter how loud, the world is deaf to their crying. Blind. This world is blind. We've let the world get dark when we were born to make it shine. We stand back and act like everything will be fine, but we're the only ones with power to bear fruit in this world, because we're the branches of the vine. We're the vessels of his love, and not just any kind of love, but the very love that comes from above. There's no reason why people should feel useless when God has a plan for them. There's no reason why people should feel depressed when God has his hands on them. There's no reason why people should feel defeated when God made a stand for them. The problem is that the world is too dark for them to see. They can't see that their battle has already been won and they have victory because of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. We've been called to be God's hands and feet. We've been called to take the world and plant his seed. So if the world's too dark for the life, the truth, and the way to be seen, then it's past time for us to do something. When are we going to stand up and fight? Fight for all the people who feel like they're too far out of sight. The people who are contemplating their own life. People who are so lost in the world that they'd rather die than see another night. I've been exposed to the fact that the world has been convinced of a lie. The lie that says there's no end to the world's cry. Now is the time. I've already joined the spiritual fight. But it's time for you to join me in this dark world and ignite your light.
Okay, that's Carissa Turner, 18-year-old Carissa Turner. Incredible poem. And we have Carissa on the phone with us today. And I've known Carissa for several years. Welcome to BPN Radio on this Saturday, Carissa.
Thank you.
And why did you write that poem?
I wrote that poem just thinking about suicide, thinking about a personal thing that I went through with suicide, and just seeing the effect that it has on the whole entire world. Because it's so personal to me, I was able to really evaluate my writing about it. But what inspired it is the fact that it's happening all over the world.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I understand that the. I read yesterday the suicide rate is the highest it's been in 25 years, and I know that's a problem, particularly among young people. Of course, you represent that youth generation. Why did you want to commit suicide?
I wanted to commit suicide because I found myself completely hopeless. I grew up in a home that was super abusive. My father was abusive towards me and my brother and my mother especially, and just having to watch that just from being a young kid. The first time my dad ever laid hands on me, I was 6 years old, and it continued and continued until the time I was 12. But at the age of 8 was when I really started to feel self-hate, and I started to hate myself because I saw myself as nothing, because that's what I felt my father saw me as. So I just began to just hate myself and hurt myself, cutting myself at 8 years old, and which led to me wanting to die, because it felt like that was the only thing that would be right. The only thing that would feel right was if I wasn't here at all. And so I began to be suicidal. And honestly, suicide is not something that a lot of people will see it as something that you just get to a point where life is too much and then you just decide to kill yourself. But honestly, it's something that you struggle with for years and years, just waiting for someone to bring you hope, to give you hope, to love you, to comfort you. And I think I went through that time for quite a long time, just wanting someone to comfort me, wanting someone to love me. And then life got really bad. I ended up losing my mom. My father murdered my mom when I was 12 years old, and my grandmother right in front of me, when she tried to leave the abusive situation going on at home. And I had to watch the whole thing. And at that point, suicide became my reality. It was something that I wanted to do, something that I was going to do no matter what. And I wasn't, at that point, I had given up on the dream of hope or the dream of comfort. I'd given up on God, and I knew about God my whole life, but at that point, all the knowledge I had of God meant absolutely nothing. I just wanted a raw love, and that's something that I couldn't find. So I found myself just lost, ready to commit suicide. And around the same time, suicide started happening in my community. There were 6 to 7 deaths that same year when it came to suicide in one school that was literally right down the street from my house. So the spirit of suicide was already in my community. And so I was ready, completely ready to do it. And around the same time, I met a family that had lost their daughter to suicide. And from that, they came to the Lord, and they came to know a hope that was so incredible. They came to know a peace that truly surpassed all understanding. And just seeing them opened up my ears to what they had to say. And I got really close to the mother of the daughter who committed suicide, and she began to just pour out a love to me that I had never seen before. And it wasn't her love, it was the love of God. And once I was exposed to the love of God, I mean, he did the rest. He completely just filled me up with a peace that surpasses all understanding. I couldn't understand it, and he loved me, and he called me his own, and he called me beautiful. He called me worth life. He told me that I was worth it, and just feeling that completely changed my mind. It completely turned me around. So I wrote this poem just thinking about that, thinking about being completely lost and then being completely found in him. It completely turns your life around. And I want people to know that where they are when it comes to suicide and thinking about suicide, it's hard to see any tunnel of light, but there's light there. And it's important for us, you know, as people who know that there's a light, to tell people of the light, and not only that, but be the light. So,
yeah, it's a great poem, and I know that every 12 seconds that someone has taken their own life in America, and that is it's a national tragedy, and I also know that there's probably not very many young ladies that have gone through what you have gone through. I know that Satan was out to totally destroy you and your entire family. But I know that you've not allowed that to happen. You fought back. But seeing your father murder your mother and your grandmother, and then your father being sent off to prison and being left in that environment, how did you overcome such incredible odds at such a young age?
Definitely only through God. Like I said, everything was super crazy. I was young. I was 12 years old whenever I saw my dad murder my mom and my grandmother. And then, you know, within that same year, I had to go through the court process where I had to testify against my father. He received a death penalty. So I lost him in a sense. And I mean, like I said, it was stressful. It was hard. Suicidal thoughts are still there. I mean, all the odds were against me. But God came into my life, and just his love was so incredible towards me. And just as I began to seek him, ask him for help, come to him with a cry instead of just a praise, mm-hmm. he began to just love me and just meet me where I was. Mm-hmm. And he took care of everything. I can't really explain everything that he did, but he just loved me, and and that's what I needed. That's what a lot of people in this world need. They need that love from God, in order to see themselves the way that God has called us to see ourselves, in order to do the things that God has called us to do. God just freed me of the chains that were holding me. He completely just broke them, and he helped me run away from them mm-hmm. and find the light.
Yeah. Well, evidently God has given an incredible ministry to minister to young people, particularly who are suicidal. And what would you, I know I'm going to have you to pray in just a few moments, but what would you say to young people out there that's listening today that they just feel hopeless, helpless, and they have these suicidal thoughts? They maybe have already cut themselves or over-medicated themselves. And what is your message to these young people who feel like their life is hopeless and they can't go on?
My message to them, first and foremost, is to tell them that they are absolutely not alone. There are people all over the world who are going through the same things that they're going through. And I know that doesn't really bring comfort, but the comfort is that God sees it. They're not just the only one that's going through something, so God's not just pushing them to the side. God sees exactly what they're going through. He sees their pain. He sees them crying, and he wants to be there for them. And the thing about God is that he's given us our free will. So he's standing at a door and he's knocking. He's not just going to force himself in, but he's knocking on a door to come into your life and to take over your life, to love you, to guide you, to show you who you really are through him. So my message to them is to open that door. Give God a chance to just take over and just love you. And my message to them is just open that door. Give God the chance to be able to love you, because once you experience just a little bit of that love, I mean,
Well,
everything else disappears.
Absolutely. And I know one of the major ingredients is to be able to do that is to forgive. And how have you been able to forgive your father for what he did, taking the life of your mother, you have neither parent to be in the home? How have you walked through forgiveness, Carissa? Have you done that?
Yes, I have. I've been able to forgive my father, and I completely forgive my father. And not only that, but I've been able to find love for my father. I love him, and I want to see him in heaven one day. And that's amazing to say. That's crazy to say. Something that seems impossible to say, but I'm proud to be able to say that. Forgiveness is something that's difficult, but it's something that has to be done in order for you to be freed from the slavery that the devil tries to put you in. And it's a hard thing to do, but how I was able to do it was, once you experience God's love, once you become a Christian, a born-again Christian, the love of God becomes a part of you,
mm-hmm.
and you're able to give it to other people.
Yeah.
Loved people can love people, free people.
Yeah.
And so once you're able to experience that love and be able to find a place where you're able to give it, and see what God has done for us. You know, my story of forgiveness is amazing. It's incredible. But the story of forgiveness that really amazes me, that's really incredible, is the story of God, the story of Jesus, when he literally died on a cross, was completely taken, his skin completely taken away, nailed to a cross, pulled himself up to say, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do."
Yeah.
I know what I've done against God. I know the sins that I've made. And I see the sins that are being thrown around the world. And I just think of a God dying for such a people as the people that are here on this earth, for dying for a world like this.
Yeah.
You know, I can love anyone. If God can love me, I can love anyone. And I can forgive anyone if God can forgive me.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic, and I certainly agree with that. And I know that it can happen, even though many young people may be struggling with that. And what would you say to young people today that are living in a very abusive environment? Maybe they're being physically abused, maybe they're being sexually abused, and they're afraid to say anything, and they're living in what they would call that trapped situation, trapped environment. What would you say to them today?
I'd tell them definitely not to keep quiet anymore. Silence is definitely not the answer. I'm sharing my story, not because it's easy, but I'm sharing my story because I want people to know that they're not alone in domestic violence. Domestic violence is something that's definitely not talked about. Sexual abuse is something that's definitely not talked about enough, and people feel, I didn't even know what domestic violence was. I didn't know there was a word for what was going on in my life, you know, as a kid, but it's time people knew that there's, you know, there's a real thing that's going on, that they're not the only ones going through it, and silence is not the answer. Coming out and telling people, trusting the right people, though, is definitely the right thing to do. There's domestic violence phone number that you can call. Just look up that hotline, call that number, you know, get help is definitely what I would tell them. But not only help from people who can get you out of the situation you're in, but call on God. Call on God for safety. Call on God for just, you know, Him to just surround you. And so, yeah, call on God, but also get help from people.
Yeah. I believe there's a lot of ministries out there that young people can reach out to. I know that there's a family even in your area that lost their daughter to suicide, and they have an awareness ministry. I don't know if you want to share anything about that or not.
Yes, I'd love to. So this family lost their daughter a little 4 years ago, actually 4 years, and they were, at the time, living in the world. And when everything happened, they completely came to God. They were attracted to the hope of God, and God completely took over their lives. And you should see them now. It's amazing to see the love that God has just poured into them, and now they're being able to give out. It's just an amazing transformation. And I'm very proud of them. I'm very close to them. They're like my second family. Okay. And they started an awareness concert that they do once a year. It just passed. They have a Lexus concert where they invite the whole entire community, anyone that really wants to come out, and they have different concerts, have different ministries come out and just pray with people and love on people and just let them know, not only bring awareness to the situation, but also bring a solution, which is Jesus Christ. And now they've launched a Lex camp where they will have coming up soon. And we'll take kids for a weekend and just love on them and be able to minister to them and share with them the love of Christ. And so that's amazing. If you follow them on LexFest, that's LexFest, on Facebook, they'll be giving out all the information. You can come to Lex Camp, or you can just, even if you just need to talk to somebody, that family is an amazing family to talk to.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You want to give us that that address on Facebook again?
Just look up and just follow them on Facebook.
Okay. Okay, and if anybody wanted to learn more about your ministry, or an invitation to go speak somewhere, how would they, do you have a page that they could go to? Address or anything that they may be able to contact you and say, would you come and speak at our church or speak at our group? Do you have any contact information, Carissa?
All right. You could get in contact with our church, which is Church of Living Waters in Rosenberg, Texas. We have a Facebook page as well.
Okay.
You can just look us up. We have an online website that you can find a number and call. You can also email me. I have an email, which would be fine. That goes for anyone that just needs to talk or anyone who wants me to go speak somewhere. I mean, that'd be incredible. Both things would be incredible. So I'll give my email.
Okay.
Which is Carissa, so that's K-A-R-I-S-S-A, and then TRNR26@gmail.com.
Okay, you want to give that one more time?
Okay, that's K-A-R-I-S-S-A, TRNR26@gmail.com.
Okay. They can also get in touch with you by going to the website of Church of Living Water in Rosenberg, Texas. And, of course, your Uncle Darren Frank has been a wonderful young man in my life for many, many years. And I know that that church is a tremendous blessing of outreach. And I know you'd be a great blessing, Carissa, if anybody wanted to come and speak to your group, or if somebody wants to email, maybe they're contemplating suicide, something going on in their life. And so, wow, I know what's happening. It's happening all around us. And we need to be very alert, very aware. And I know that you have overcome major obstacles in your young life, just being 18 years old. And I would also encourage people to go to your Facebook there and be able to share your video. That's awesome. I'm going to put it on my Facebook page. I've got 5,000 friends, and I'm going to share that. So why don't you just pray for these young people that may be contemplating suicide, maybe going through suicide. Maybe there are some parents listening today, like your friend's parents, that their child has already committed suicide, and they're in deep grief, self-blame, whatever it may be, condemnation may be going on in their lives. So however the Holy Spirit leads you, Carissa, you can pray before we go today.
Father God, I just want to thank you in advance, Father, for all that you've done for me. God, I want to give you all the glory and praise that all you've done for me, God, just taking me out of complete confusion, God, complete hate, God, and giving me such an amazing love. God, I just want to pray for the people that are going through what I've had to go through, God, or maybe not even to that extent, but are having to feel the things that I felt, God, the depression, the anxiety, God, the confusion, God. I pray that you just find them right where they are, God. And you just wrap your arms around them, God, and just be their safe haven, God, and just love on them, God. Show them that your love is worth living for, God. Continue and continue and continue to move in this world, God. Continue and continue to move within the Christians of this world, God, that they'd be able to love people the way that you've loved us, God. I pray for the hopeless, God, to be able to find hope, to be able to see hope, to be able to see your light in the dark world that we live in, God. I just pray that you, for blessings to pour out upon the people that you've called to be your hands and feet, that they'd be able to just reach this world, God. I want to pray for the different ministries that are going against suicide, God, are going against domestic violence. I pray that you just bless them, God, and that you just continue to show them, God, what you would have them do. Again, I want to pray for the people who are suicidal, God, who have come to a place where there's absolutely no hope, that they'd rather die, God, than continue on here. Father, I pray right now, for you to fill their heads with thoughts of you and to completely shut out the voice of the enemy, God. The lies of the enemy have no more voice in this world, God. I declare that in your name. Father, I just pray for hope, a peace, a love, all of these things that surpass our understandings to find us where we are, God. Each and every one of us in this world, God, the teenagers, God, who don't have mothers and fathers who are there supporting them, or even the ones that do, Father, I pray that they find your support and your love in the midst of their troubles, in the midst of their adversities, God. And just pray for your light to just resonate in this world. It's in your mighty name that I pray that. Amen.
Okay, Carissa, you are you're an awesome young lady. I knew your mother, and of course your grandmother was great friends of Gene and I. And so I'm so thankful that you have grown up to be a wonderful young lady, a beautiful young lady that's willing to get out there and share your story. And I just encourage anyone that is listening today to watch your video if they have an opportunity to contact you or maybe a church leader, youth group, to invite you to come and speak if possible. I know that you live in the Houston, Texas area. It's a big area. And I know the hand of God is upon you, and I'm really thankful that you have been on the broadcast today. And I just bless you in Jesus' name. And do you have a favorite song that I might play? I'm going to play a song here in just a moment when we finish the interview. You have a favorite song?
Probably my favorite song right now is Touch the Sky by Hillsong.
Touch the Sky by Hillsong. Okay, I'm going to play Touch the Sky by Hillsong. So great to have you on, Carissa. God bless you for being here today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
What fortune lies beyond the stars? Those dazzling heights too fast to climb. I got so hard to fall so far. But I found heaven as love swept low. My heart beating, my soul breathing. I found my life when I laid it down. Upward falling, spirit soaring. I touched the sky when my knees hit the
I'm
Okay, there's Carissa Turner's favorite song, Hillsong, Touch the Sky. We can do it today. What an awesome young lady. What an awesome testimony that she had. And this broadcast, of course, replays every hour. So I trust that you will contact your friends and neighbors and tell them to, they still have time to listen to this incredible testimony by Carissa Turner, Rosenberg, Texas. And thank you for being a part of VPN Radio here on this Saturday in August, this good old summertime. And wow, we just want to thank you for being a part of this broadcast at this time or any time here on VPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, as we pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. And of course, that does include people like Carissa, who had attempted suicide, who wanted to die because of the terrible environment that she grew up in, and then had to witness her father murdering her mother and grandmother. What an incredible story. And I know that she prayed for those of you today that are going through the pain of an abusive situation, or maybe the loss of a son or a daughter, or even a father or mother through suicide. And I'll never forget, as a young preacher, the first suicide funeral that I preached. And it was just a young man in his 30s, and they had a beautiful home. He had a beautiful wife and two beautiful children, about 10 and 12 years old. And wow, it was just a sad occasion. It was unbelievable that a man would take a gun and destroy his life and attempt to destroy the life of a wife or his son and daughter. So it was an incredible situation. But I remember preaching that first suicide funeral, and it was very, very difficult. So I want to pray for those of you today that not only have gone through that experience of losing a loved one by suicide, but you've attempted suicide. And I just say an addendum prayer over you and ask the Holy Spirit to minister to you. I also want to pray today for those of you that are contemplating abortion. And we are being faced with a major reality through all of the news that's coming from Planned Parenthood about abortion and the tragedy and the awareness now that we are experiencing here in America, the genocide of 55 million babies. And it's really heartbreaking. And I know that it's heartbreaking for some of you that have actually had an abortion. And some of you may be thinking about today, that little baby that was inside of you that was taken prematurely, and what age he might have been right now, what age she might be right now, and what maybe she could have done for society. It's got to be some terrible pain. There's some guilt and condemnation. And when we pray and repent for abortion in America, we're certainly not pointing a finger of guilt or condemnation at any of you ladies that have had an abortion, because we know that God forgives. He does forgive, and He forgets and releases us. It's very difficult to forgive ourselves. So I wanted to pray for you today. And for those of you that are contemplating an abortion, and I just say, no, don't do that. That baby inside of you has a future. That baby inside of you, who knows, could impact a nation or nations of the world. And so I just pray for you right now that if you're pregnant, you're thinking about committing suicide, thinking about taking the life of your baby, I pray for you right now in Jesus' name. And I pray that you will allow this baby inside of you to live. In Jesus' name. And I declare today that it is not your choice to abort that baby, regardless of what society says. But that baby inside of you is growing every minute, every hour, every day, developing those hands and feet, developing those, that heartbeat, those integral parts of that life. Let that baby live, I pray. In Jesus' name, I beg you today, in the name of Jesus, to let that baby inside of you live today, in the name of Jesus. And even though you may say, well, I'm just ashamed. I'm ashamed to bring this baby into the world, and you know, I don't know where the daddy is. You might not even know who the daddy is. The daddy may not want to take responsibility, even though it's proven by DNA. But you got to realize that that baby has a life, has a future, and I ask you today not to abort the baby. Let the baby live. And for your shame, he said he would give you double honor for your shame. Let the baby live. And I pray today for those of you today that have had an abortion. I pray for you men that are listening today, and you encouraged your girlfriend or your wife to have an abortion. You must realize that God forgives. And if you've not asked forgiveness, he is just simply waiting to say yes. And once forgiveness takes place, then there just comes that release, that not only release, but there comes that relief. And some of you need some relief from the condemnation and the guilt and the shame that is associated with the aborting of a baby. It may have been recently, it may have been many years ago. And I pray for you right now in Jesus' name. I ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister to you. And if you've not asked forgiveness, would you just do it right now? Just say, Lord, please forgive me for aborting my baby, for taking the life of my baby. And I accept your forgiveness. And I forgive myself. That's very, very important. Very, very important. I forgive myself. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I set myself in agreement here on BPN Radio on this Saturday, Lord, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to come and comfort these individuals that have gone through this situation. In Jesus' name, no more guilt, no more shame, no more blame. Just relief and release, releasing themselves to receive the forgiveness and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. I want you to know that I love you, and I want you to know that Jesus loves you. I love you, and Jesus loves you. And while Courtney Vandiver-Pierre, while she plays on her cello, why don't you just spend some time with the Holy Spirit for just a few moments? Several years ago, I put five different versions of 1 Corinthians 13 together, and I want to close with this today. But I combined these, and I thought it might be a blessing to you. From 1 Corinthians 13, love never gives up. Love is always patient and kind. Love is not jealous. Love cares more for others than for self. Love does not envy others. Love does not want what it doesn't have. Love does not strut. Love is not boastful or proud. Love does not have a swelled head. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love is not selfish. Love is not rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not always me first. Love is not offended. Love is not easily provoked. Love does not fly off the handle. Love does not hold grudges. Love does not keep score. Love endures all things. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Love rejoices in the truth. Love always looks for the best. Love endures whatever comes. Love never quits. Love never looks back. Love always keeps going. Love always trusts. And love is loyal. God is love. I love you today, and thank you for being a part of BPN Radio. Be back tomorrow at the same time or any time as we pray for revival in America.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.